love running, or maybe you're thinking about starting to run, whether it's for exercise, recreation, or maybe you're getting ready for that local 5 or 10K, join Sean and Jason, two average guys who talk about the sport they love here on the Average Runner Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and thanks again for joining us here on the Average Runner Podcast. My name is Sean.
And I'm Jason.
And on today's episode, we're going to be doing a little recapping. I just had my second trail race last weekend, and we're going to find out, actually we're going to get into it right now, as to how Jason has been doing. Have we have any changes? The last time we recorded, you were still kind of banged up at doing some more stretching and stuff like that. So how are things going with you?
They are progressing. I was able to actually get out and run this week, which I was pretty ecstatic about. But what I've been doing is, you know, foam rolling and stretching like I guess everyone should be. So I've been trying to develop a routine, a consistent routine to stretch and foam roll. And it's finally starting to pay off because I can feel the tension, you know, released in my legs a little bit, and my knees are starting to feel better, and my range of motion and some of the stretching that I'm doing has increased.
How much foam rolling do you do?
I get up at 8 a.m. and I foam roll until 3 p.m. No,
but your wife, the one time we got together and Terry was making fun of you, as our wives do to us,
yes,
all the time anyways.
She constantly is making fun of me because, you know, we'll be talking in one room, you know, and she'll go say to the next bathroom and she'll come back in the room and I'll be on the floor rolling and she's like, what are you doing? I was just talking to you. I'm like, I'm still talking to you. I happen to be rolling on the floor. Or she'll go and come back in and I'll have like one leg up in the air with an elastic band around it, you know, stretching. Uh-huh. So like pretty much any time I walk by my stuff, I'll just stop and do a couple things, you know, just so I'm doing it constantly throughout the day.
Right.
And it, you know, it's working, you know.
Right. If that's what, I mean, like you said, I mean, I should definitely be foam rolling more than I am, especially now, and I'll get into that. But it definitely helps. For me, I'm always, for the most part, post run. When I foam roll, I don't.
How far after post run? Like minute? Like, you know, 15 minutes?
I would say
hours.
No, yeah, probably within like 20 minutes, I think. Usually after my runs, I'll do some static stretching, and then I'll take in some nutrition, and then I'll usually hit the foam roller, just because that seems to take a little longer.
You don't roll with it, you hit it?
Yep, I hit the foam. I go and hit everybody in the house with the foam roller, start whacking everybody. Tonight, we're recording again. The last episode, not with Steven, but when it was just Jason and I, we were in the same situation where our wives were out and we have all the kids tonight. So I think I just got them settled down.
It is quiet.
It is quiet right now. It was crazy. So we're actually enjoying some Sam Adams Oktoberfest. We're going to enjoy one, maybe two, but that'll be it. But so we're just feeling, I guess, a little relaxed now because things were getting a little tense for me at least. But anyways, yeah. So as far as the foam rolling goes, I usually do that last just because it does take a little bit longer. I don't even think I foam roll as much as long as I should each muscle, but you know, that's like 20 minutes probably, but I should be doing, I think, more maintenance like you are, just preventative, you know, reasons. So it's something I need to do. And like I said, I'll kind of get into why I should be doing it a little bit more now anyways.
I tell you, I was skeptical at first, you know, when you were telling me you were foam rolling. I'm like, what? You know, I know I've heard of that and blah, blah, blah. But
Which I have to interrupt.
Oh, that, here we go.
That is generally kind of the way things go, aren't they? Admit it. When it comes to running and maybe equipment or whatever, if I'm doing something, you always kind of give me a, ooh, really? And then
other than trail racing.
Yeah, we already established that last week that I definitely poo-pooed trail racing and now I'm like all in love with it. But anyways, go ahead.
No, I lost my train of thought.
No, you're saying you were skeptical about foam
skeptical
rolling.
Yeah, so I figured I'd give it a try because, you know, I was at my wit's end with what was going on. So I researched, you know, on how to foam roll properly and what to expect when you foam roll. And let me tell you, when you do certain muscles, it can bring you to tears.
The hot spots, that's what they call it, right? Like when you hit a hot spot, you're supposed to kind of like rest on that spot for a few seconds. You know, where your instinct is like, oh, get off that. But you're really supposed to kind of
slow and focus on that. So when I was doing the first thing that made me come to tears was when I did my IT band, the outside of my thigh all the way down, you know, to my knee, to my upper thigh. I rolled that, and for probably a good week, every night when I was doing it, I was in tears. My eyes were watering. My wife's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, this hurts. She's like, well, does it feel good? I say, yes. You know, and it took probably a good 7 days of it before I could finally do it without being in pain. And now I'm to the point where that feels pretty good, you know?
Right.
Which was just one of my problems. And then I would find other hot spots. Like, it ended up being my inner thigh as well. You know, been rolling the heck out of that. So
you've been out more often. You've been out running more now.
Yes. Yeah, I'm trying to slowly wean myself back into it. I don't want to go too crazy. And I don't want to say I ran too much this week. I only got out 2 days this week, but the one day was higher mileage than I've been able to do in geez,
well, yeah, because
months.
Because a while back when you were running, you were just getting like, you were struggling to get a 3 mile run in and stuff without pain. So, and then I actually saw, I think it was last week when you had a 6 miler or 6.5 mile. Was it this week or the week started?
Well, I tried to start last week, but it just was too soon. I think I had one running last week.
Right.
So then this week, Monday, actually, I did like a 6.5, and oh man.
Yeah, I saw that,
and
I was
awesome. I mean, I felt like midway through, I felt like I had a second wind, and I had negative splits, and it was fantastic. I was so happy, you know. And then after the run, I felt fine. Tuesday, I felt fine. Wednesday, I still felt fine. In fact, Wednesday, I went out and did, you know, 3.2. Felt fine for that, and I was like, wow, this is, you know, I'm like, I'm back, you know. But did something stupid on Thursday and kind of jacked my knees up again, but.
Briefly, you don't have to tell the whole story, but what did you do to kind of, it wasn't actually like you weren't actually out for a run.
No, I kind of was
doing some neighborhood shenanigans.
Doing a little bit of neighborhood shenanigans. So I was basically running back to my house from across the street kind of diagonally. And I wasn't conscious of my form or thinking about foot placement or anything like that. I was just running, you know, kind of running.
You were 10 years old again, and you're just running back to your house.
10 years old, you know, I did something, and I was kind of giggling as I was running, so I was just running.
Right.
Well, when I got back to my house, my knees were jacked up. They were on fire. So I pretty much ruined myself for the rest of Thursday night and all of Friday, and now it's starting, everything's starting to go back to normal again, which, thankfully.
But I think that kind of, because we talked earlier this week, and you had mentioned to me that you were paying more attention to your form and your foot placement, your foot strike, while you were running. And at first, the way it came across when you told me, where you were kind of like, oh man, I keep thinking about my foot placement and everything. And I was like, no, that's good. Because I mean, I do that all the time, even on a 18 mile run, not the entire time, but a good majority of it is just focusing on form. Because you can tend to get a little bit lazy with how you're doing things. So I was like, that's probably a good thing. So I think between you saying that and then your little neighborhood shenanigans kind of, you know, sometimes something happens and it makes you realize what you're doing is working. So that the fact that when you have been doing like your 6 mile run and everything, and you're paying attention, that's actually a good thing. It's not something to be like, oh, I can't stop thinking about it. I mean, that's good. You're thinking about your form and really paying attention, and it's paying off for you. Cause I don't know, in the last time you took a 6 mile run where you weren't like,
I can't even tell you when.
Yeah. Cause when we went to Allegheny, I mean, if you total the mileage, and I understand that there was a lot of ascents and descents involved in that and rocks and roots, but you were hurting that day. And think we only covered like between the two trails, we only covered
we did eight,
five.
Didn't we?
No.
Altogether, no.
No, I think we were just under six, to be honest with you, for the whole day.
I will tell you though, on Monday when I was running, there was a couple of slight inclines in the neighborhood that I was in, you know, not, I wouldn't call it a hill or anything like that, but it definitely wasn't flat.
Right.
And I could feel the difference in my legs, and I'm thinking, I'm not ready for that kind of stuff yet. You know, there's actually a hill where my son does soccer practice, and I tested that the one day, and I said, yeah, I don't want to get in the trails yet.
Right.
It's probably a next year kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, I mean, it's kind of late, you know, for us where we live to probably jump into it now. I mean, I think I just kind of luckily hit the tail end. I'm more focused into next spring, really hitting, you know, trail running and stuff like that. So, well, I'm glad to see that you are out. Like I said, when I saw that 6 miler, 6.5, I was like, man, that's awesome. Excuse me.
And that was before work, which is even awesomer.
I was like, dang, man, he really put in some miles. And I think that was one day.
I changed my route up too. Went through a different neighborhood, and you know, and that's
hard. Yeah.
It's kind of hard to do where I am, where to avoid traffic. You know.
Yeah, you live off of. Well, you're kind of in the country a little bit.
Kind of in the, like on the edge of being in the country. Yeah. So the roads are.
You're in a development.
People drive crazy on the main roads.
Yeah,
outside of my development, so I got to be careful what times I run because. The shoulder of the road doesn't really lend itself to having a runner and a car at the same time, you know? So it's nice because when you're running at 5 a.m., traffic is light, so I can actually switch. I usually end up switching sides of the road when I see a car because I have that time,
right.
You know?
Right. Well, that's good, man. And I think it's good news. You've been kind of easing back into it. Excuse me. So definitely made me happy because, you know, past few episodes we've recorded and we kind of record sporadically, you know, we're not like a weekly show, and it's been, you know, your knees have been a big issue. And I know you were getting off air, you were kind of getting a little down and worrying, you know, what was going to be your future in running as far as, so, you know, you're putting in the work that you need to do that, you know, it's working out for you. So, you know, if you're grocery shopping and your wife is reading a label and you got to drop down and stretch on the grocery floor, then that's what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
For the sake of running. Like we've always said, if you want to run, you got to do, you know, what works. So, I actually had, I think I talked about the Achilles issue I had.
You started to.
Yeah. That was probably about a little over a month ago, maybe or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was well over a month ago. I was out on a long 18 miler, about 10 miles in. I stepped into kind of a dip in the ground, for a quick recap of it, and overextended my foot. And then I guess maybe pulled the Achilles tendon or aggravated it and, you know, flared it up or whatever. So I took some time off of that, about 2 weeks. Got back into some running. I did the first trail race. Yeah, the 8 in the rough, which you talked about. And everything was fine for that. So a few weeks ago, I was out running in the neighborhood, not even in trails. And I rolled my ankle on a pine cone, my other foot. So this was the other side. And I almost went down, but I kind of caught myself. But it was, again, one of those things where I was like, yeah, that's gonna hurt later. Right now, it's okay. So I've been dealing with some issues over there, and I gave it about 2 weeks off of running. It was feeling a lot better. I had this trail race, the Ridge Walk and Run, the 15-mile trail race. So I hadn't ran in like 2 weeks, and I went the day before. I went on a 14-mile run.
You ran a 14-mile run the day you were
the day before, you were gonna run a 15-mile race? Yeah. A guy locally here I talk with a little bit. He's training for the Heroes Marathon, was going out, and he had asked me a few weeks ago to go on a long run with him, and I was like, I just couldn't make it. So I said, I'll go with you this time, and I ended up kind of doing what you did for me when you met up with me. I had to do a long run.
Yeah.
So I met up with him in the morning, and it was kind of funny, but I ended up going a little bit further because we were talking and I felt fine. Did the trail race. So I think between that day, the trail race, and then 2 days following, I put in 40 miles in 4 days, basically. So I'm kind of in rough shape right now, but I don't know what's next for me, but we'll talk about that when we kind of get into how we're going to wrap up this year for the two of us. Mine is kind of, I'm being forced to wrap up, and we'll see where you're at when we get to that point. But, I did do the Ridge Walk and Run 15-mile trail race. So I'm going to do a recap of that. You couldn't make that because of obvious reasons. You were definitely not in the shape to be doing it.
Right.
And, the race was in a place called Wellsville, New York, which is like 2 hours away. So, and I knew that I was probably going to be running for about, I don't know, I was thinking maybe 3.5 to 4 hours of running.
Right.
Because I knew I was in top form. And I also knew that I'm more of a zero elevation gain road runner.
There's not a lot of elevation where we are. So it's hard to train for that unless you're going to drive somewhere to train for that.
Right. Which we don't have time to be doing that. And I haven't, I mean, I could do some training on the treadmill and there's a few little hills we could do hill sprints on, but it's a matter of timing. But
still, you got to get there.
Right.
You know, it's nice to be able to leave from your house.
Right. Yeah. So, this race, it was, like 2 hours away. So I got up at like 4 o'clock, my wife and kids were out of town. So, I got up at 4, I was out the door by like 5:15. I think it was pitch black. And it was a good distance. I mean, 2 hours and I'm driving and it was really overcast. They were calling for like snow and rain.
It did snow here.
And it did snow there. It didn't rain. I mean, to be honest, the weather was awesome. It was awesome there. I got there. I had to go to check in for the race at the Wellsville High School or middle school or something. You go there and you check in, and it was kind of cool. I mean, it wasn't an ultra by any means. I mean, as far as like distance goes, but it had that feel from like stuff I've heard. Like, you checked in at the school, they give you a bag that's your drop bag. So you brought clothes because they're like, look, everyone is going to get wet regardless of how the weather is. You're going to get wet.
Yeah.
So they give you a paper grocery bag, duct tape, marker. So you tape it all up. It was really cool. Yeah, it was. And you just put it in a pile in the gym. This is all in the gym. And you put it over in a pile. So after 20 minutes or so, it was time to get on the bus. So they bus you, depending on your distance that you're registered for, you would take a bus to go into that spot.
They had different distances?
Yeah, so they had the 15-mile. I think they had a 6 mile and a 3 mile. And then they had people that could walk it as well, the different distances. I mean, this was like an all day event, but we were the first ones to register, and the first ones out, the 15 milers. Because when I was finishing up I don't know if it was the 10K or 5K, they were just starting, but, so we got on the bus, and the bus ride from the school to the starting line, it was just cool. Everyone's like there and, some people talking, and I was completely by myself, didn't know anybody. So I was just sitting by myself, just looking out the window, beautiful country. I mean, you know, we talked about before that they're kind of like just hills here, but for us, they're mountains. I mean, these things are like 3,000 feet. So that's
pretty good.
That's mountains. You know what I mean? I just figured because someone in Colorado is listening, like, yeah, 3,000, that's just a hill. But I mean, for East Coast, that's pretty big. And, so they get to the starting line. There's like, I think there was three or four buses. We all kind of get out, and I'm not kidding, man. Within like 15 minutes, we're lined up. They kind of explain the markers and everything and tell you to just have a good time. It's all on private land, and they get permission to do this once a year. So they want you to be, you know, be very respectful of the land. This isn't our land. It's public, you know, it's private land. These people let us do it for so many years, want to continue doing it. And, I got to tell you, I mean, from what I remember seeing, I didn't see any kind of like trash or anything on the trail. So that's really cool. Be careful, be safe. You know, they had it marked very, very well. And, they fire a gun and boom, you're going. And the first 3 miles is all uphill. When all was said and done, it's on Strava and even on my TomTom app, they were within 50, 60 feet. It was like an elevation gain of 3,000. I think it was like 29, or one might've said like 30, you know, or 3,000 or something. So it was pretty tough, man. So the first 3 miles, you're going up a road and you do cut into the woods. It was 30. I have some notes right here. It was 31 degrees, I think, in my car when I got there. So I layered up. I had 3 layers on the top. I didn't want to overdo it because that was part of the reason me going on that run the day before. I knew the weather was going to be very similar, so I kind of wanted to know how to prepare for it. And I got to a point when I did the run the day before where I had a shed some layers. So I did have shorts on. I was going to wear, like, I have tights, but I didn't want to wear them because I knew it would be like doing crit crossings, and I didn't want to be like my legs soaked. You know, I did have my calf sleeves on. That gave me a little bit of warmth too. It started snowing, but not till I was into the race for a little bit, but it was definitely cold. Yeah. 31 degrees. Like, we were kind of like, I remember looking at this guy next to me and they were explaining, I'm like, all right, let's just go. You know, I had gloves and stuff on, but, so anyways, they had aid stations along the way. I knew they were going to have them. I looked at the map, but I just got a new hydration pack. So I did an episode like 2 months ago about a cheap hydration, basically just talking about trying to get a feel for if you want a hydration pack on you, maybe do it cheaper. So I ended up getting a couple weeks ago, a Nathan's Fire Catcher. You can put a 1.5 liter if you want bladder, or you can just use it to kind of like stuff some gear and layers. And then you can put those handheld bottles I have, yeah. The Nathan's, a 22 ounce. I can fit two on the front, which is what I really wanted. I wanted access to those bottles in the front. So I wore that. I'd say probably maybe 4 miles or so in, I had to stop and just take layers off. So I was glad I had the pack. I was able to stuff them in there because the pouch kind of stretches. Yeah. So I took 2 layers off. So at this point I'm running, I have like gloves on, t-shirt and shorts. That was it. But because you're moving and burning all that energy, you know, you're not cold. You know, I was like sweating so bad. So I'm like, all right, I'm done. But, it wasn't like Eight in the Rough with like all the single track that Eight in the Rough had. This was more, I'd say, more like, I guess you would say, like double track. I mean, there was a little bit of single track, but a lot of it was just,
I mean, was it an actual kind of dirt or gravel trail, or was it, what was the path?
I think it was more like just beat down path, like that they used to get up in the mountains and stuff. It was kind of hard to tell, man, because there was so much leaf coverage.
Yeah.
And it was wet, which kind of plays into a lot for the race. Excuse me, for me. But it was funny, not funny, but especially with like the trail, you kind of run with people for a while and talk a little bit, you know. And I was running with this guy, and I finally asked him how old he was, you know, because he was doing awesome, and he was 60 years old. He had a different hydration pack on, so he had his stuff, and he said all he does is run trails, and he said that he looked the day before to see if there's anything around, and I think he was from Rochester, he said, and he saw it, and he's like, figured I would do it. I talked to another couple that were running it together. They had just done Ragnar Adirondacks a few weeks back, so he was kind of telling me about that, and you know, told him I had interest in that. And so you know, you get to talk with some people a little bit, then you either go or they kind of go, you know what I mean, and then you just kind of meet people along the way. I ran with a couple women that were actually from there. And this was like their fourth time running it. Mm-hmm. Cause it was funny. Like, you'd run with people and be like, you ever run this before? You know? And people like, no, you know, you know, and they're like, yeah, we've done this 4 times and we're from here. So I'm like, oh, well they're used to this. Yeah. Probably, you know, they're used to this running in hills and everything. So, so it's just a different experience. Like, again, like we talked about before, than running on the road, really, you know. My pace was just all over the place, dude. I mean, it was like when I first started, I looked at my watch and I think I was at a 9.5. I think I did the first mile in about 9.5 or something, which was probably still too much, especially going uphill. Mm-hmm. And I kept dialing it back. Maybe I was closer to 10 because a lot of people took off and I was like, I'm not falling for that trick again. Yeah. Like, you know, road, we fall
race
for that
day,
trick.
Take yeah. off right on the start. Yeah.
Yeah. So I really honestly went into this because like I said, I had the foot injury going on. I thought, let's just really just enjoy the experience of being out here. And I got a long day ahead of me. You know, I wasn't by any means thinking I was going to rip through this thing in like 2 hours or 2.5 hours. You know, I knew it was going to take me some time. So, I did take some gels. I went the day before, bought a bunch of gels. I had 5. I think I ate 4. But I also got ginger, like ginger chews.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard a lot of people talk on other podcasts and stuff about like a lot of trail runners using them because they help settle your stomach.
Yes.
You know, help prevent like GI issues and stuff like that. So I did that because I know for eight in the rough route, it's fine. But when you and I went to Allegheny, for some reason, I don't know if it was because I think we had bagels or something on the way down, or we had something more and coffee.
Didn't we have Tim Horton's breakfast sandwiches?
You did. I think I had a bagel. But I remember that day, I was like, maybe I can. I understand why with trails, because you're kind of hopping around. You know what I mean? It's not as smooth a flow. So I was a little nervous at this distance that maybe I would have some GI issues. So I had the ginger chews for that.
And did you bring your honey stinger?
I had a honey stinger waffle strawberry one in my stuff sack, actually. But I wasn't going to stop to eat it. Like, I had my belt on that I made that has my the little loops for the gels. So I had my gels there.
You look like a superhero with that.
Yep, I had my super belt on with my super gels, my super salted caramels. But so I actually chewed on the ginger chews almost the entire time.
Now, is that like a gummy? I have not had those yet. What's the consistency?
The one I got, I'd say it is...
There's a hard candy. It's not a hard candy.
I'd say it's in between like a hard candy and a gummy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's a little bit... It's chewier than a hard candy, but it's not real. Like, I actually would just kind of stuff it up in my cheek, like maybe like you would like dip or something, you know, and just kind of let it kind of suck on it that way, because I was running and I would and drink or whatever. But so I mean, I had no stomach issues, but it was kind of nice too, just having some flavor, I guess, the entire time. And because it was so cold and with breathing, you know, I think it helped prevent like getting kind of
we get that
in your throat. Yeah, from breathing that cold air the whole time. So they're definitely, I used them after that on another run too. So it's kind of going to be a thing, I think, for me. They're just, and they're like, I think they're like 15 calories. So you're getting a little bit of, you know, calories in you while you're moving. It didn't bother me to take the gels, because, I mean, they're gels anyway. So you're kind of just take them in as quick as you can.
Right.
That's what I did for nutrition. The aid stations were awesome. They'd have water, Gatorade. A couple of them I kind of just ran by, and I think they just had water and Gatorade, but I know some had like bananas. I did stop at one that was a few miles from the finish. I actually stopped and had two Fig Newtons. It was cool. They had Gatorade, water, Fig Newtons. I think they had like a Famous Amos chocolate chip cookie bag, the little bags, you know, you get putting your kids lunch, like stuff like that, bananas and just all this stuff. And by that point I was like, did I really need a Fig Newton at that point? I only had, I think, maybe two miles to go at that point, but it was comforting at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was pretty whooped. So the aid stations were great. The volunteers in the race were awesome. I mean, everyone was real cool, real nice, you know, help you get your drinks or whatever. Real good. I think the only complaint I have about the entire race is because they do the walks and the runs, that there was a point, and I don't know the mileage, but it was in a bit, where we came across walkers on the trail. Now, everyone was very cool about moving, but you'd kind of have to say something. They wouldn't even know you were there. You know what I mean? On certain parts. So and I talked to a few people afterwards, and they kind of mentioned the same thing. It was, nobody was mad. I mean, you knew that going in. But when the paths did kind of cross, and there was big groups of people, it was a little difficult at times, especially at the point I did, it was a real muddy puddle type of trail. So you kind of had a pass on your left, you know, and if you'd say, oh, you know, two more behind or something, you know what I mean? To kind of give them a heads up that you had people behind you. People that I did see like in the woods that were kind of like sporadic, they kind of knew you were coming. It was quieter, maybe the leaves, and they could hear you. And they would always, everyone was very good about moving over. But so really the only complaint, if any, was just when we got a big cluster of them, it got a little difficult for that. But like I said, beautiful country. I mean, I tried to, especially after the first ascent, like where we really got kind of hilltop, like just really just kind of look over. And
now, were you in the woods most of the time, or did you come out on hilltop like in open air for a little bit?
You are in open at times, but Other times you're in the woods, but it's like, it was like wide open trails, if okay, that makes yeah. sense. You know what I mean?
It wasn't very dense.
Some of it was, but a lot of it wasn't. It was kind of a good mixture of it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. It was technical. I'm not a big trail runner. I mean, this is my second one, but comparing it to the Sprigbrook trail race that I did, the 8 in the Rough, that to me was very technical. It was single track, lots of roots, lots of rocks. This was, to me, more technical on the downhill. The uphills, admittedly, I walked a lot of them, tried to power. I mean, I tried to like kind of do that little, like a prancy kind of trot up them. And I was just like, this is pointless. You know, I can't, there were some pretty seriously steep inclines, you know? So I was like, look, I tried to be smart about the whole thing and just reserve the energy. But even, I mean, I'm not going to lie, man. Like I would get like maybe like to where it got level and I'd have to tell myself, okay, now you need to run. Like,
right.
Cause I would walk a few more steps, you know, and cause you were comfortable and trying to get your breath and I'd be like, okay, now I need to move. The downhills, I did not look forward to them after a few. They were so fast, dude. They were so fast. Like I said, there was leaves everywhere. It was wet, so it was slippery. And I mean, I had just bought some new trail shoes. I was having trouble at some points, like where I was like, "Holy crap!" Like I am hauling down these hills, you know. I did a couple with some people with groups to where it was like a little hairy because you got someone in front of you and you're kind of getting on their heels, but also what if they go down? Oh, are you going to be able to react? So I think next time I'll try to maybe space myself out a little bit. I mean, this is all learning for me.
Oh yeah.
You know,
now I know you were talking to some people and you're just saying you're behind people. So how often were you around people? I mean, were you by yourself most of it?
No, I'd say I was with people probably more than I wasn't.
Yeah.
But there were times where I was by myself. In the first part of the race, maybe the first 6 miles, I did make some nice ground in that time where I did pass some people, caught some people. Because, you know, when it starts off, you kind of eyeball some people in the beginning. At least I do. I did purposely to kind of gauge myself if I did happen to catch these people. You know, are they going out too hard? You know, like I said in the beginning, like not falling to that trap
right.
of trying yes. to go with everyone. Because you don't know, unless you personally know everybody, you know, or, you know, you and I are racing together and you know my capabilities, I know yours, so you would know. But these people, I don't know, maybe they can handle going out that fast. So I didn't want to fall into that trap of that, you know. But I did run myself at some points and I tried to make ground where I really, really tried to study the map beforehand and study it just by mileage. So I could look at my watch and know, okay, between these miles, it shouldn't be too bad. I mean, any elevation gain was tough. You know, like I said, the first 3 miles, I think, was the biggest gain. And then it flattened out a little bit and kind of had some what would look on the map as a little elevation gain. But in reality, I mean, when you're doing it, it's tough. But you know what I mean? I tried to make mental notes of the mile markers between certain mile markers, what I should be doing and what I shouldn't. So at a certain point, getting towards the end, I was really then starting to pay attention to my watch. And I started going, you know, I could get under 3 hours on this. I'm in the park to do under three hours. Now, I hit my, at this point, my foot, it wasn't killing me. Like, and I'll tell you right now, like my foot being an issue is not, I'm not trying to say that's an excuse of anything like time-wise. I learned who I am as a trail racer that weekend. Like that course taught me like, this is not the road, you know, and it's different. You know what I mean?
What specific incident can you cite on that trail run that may have let you know that this is no joke?
It was all the ascents just knocked the heck out of me. I mean, I'm not used to running and then power walking and then running, and you know what I mean? Like, I'm used to just running, and I learned like I need to do some serious training if I want to make trails more of my thing next year and, you know, compete as far as like in my age group, you know, even with road race, I compete for my age. I don't compete overall. That's I'm never going to compete with the kids that are winning these things, you know. But
any injuries or anything?
Yeah, so I was getting pretty tuckered out towards the end. I think I had about four miles to go. Came across a guy, he was really hurting, you could tell. And I asked him, you know, I said, "You okay?" And he's like, "Man," he's like, "I'm cramping up really, really bad." And I had salt with me. And just like this little salt package you'd get from a restaurant, you know, little single things. I had a couple of them stuffed in my pack on a little, it's like this little waterproof pouch. I said, "You want some salt?" And he's like, "Oh, you got some?" Yeah. So I gave, so I gave him a salt packet, and, you know, I wished him luck and everything. And it was, you know, he apologized because I had to kind of slow down and stop to get it out and everything to him. And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry for messing up." I'm like, "Dude, don't worry about it. I'm glad that I have it so that hopefully you get some, you know, relief." Long story short, I talked to him afterwards. He said he thinks it might've helped him, but I think it might've been at the point where it was maybe getting to be a little too late. Maybe, you know, I think he said he was really like, I think like he said he was like really spasming or whatever. Like they were really tweaking out on him. Geez. But I ended up taking salt myself and I've never done it. But I'd say probably like a mile after that, my shoes, I was like, okay, these downhills are fast and they're slippery and my feet are, I rolled my feet a couple times. Like I lost my traction. I'm like, I need to tie these up again and kind of snug them up. My laces were frozen. So I'm trying to get double bows, you know, out and they're frozen. My hands are frozen. Well, while I'm bent over, then I started cramping.
Oh, where are you, hip flexor?
No. My hamstrings started really, really cramping bad. And I was like, oh man. So, got my shoes all done and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to take some salt because I hadn't really had it other than the gels, you know? And I was putting my body through, you know, something it really has never been through that way in running with, right. I mean, my quads were killing me. My quads never get like that normal running, you know what I mean? So, it's usually like my calves or something. So I ended up taking some salt. So, wrapping up here with the race, the whole time it was marked pretty well. There was one instance where a group of us were like, "Which way do we go?" And we kind of went about 10 feet and then we were like, "Nope, I think we go that way." And we turned. Well, it happened again at the end. And now I'm going to be honest. Like I was trying to cook at this point, like, cause I was like, I've got so much to go. If I, you know, average a pace at this or that, I can come in on, and I knew it would be like 258, 259 if I did. It wasn't going to be like any substantial amount under three, but it was going to be sub three. So I was taking the downhills pretty aggressive, and there was a part where you came down and you had to turn right, and I went left, and it was like this open field, and I kept running a little bit, and I had passed the guy just a little while before, and my gut told me this wasn't right. I didn't see any more markers, but I didn't want to backtrack. So I just stood there and I looked up the hill and I seen the guy I passed. I seen him coming and he turned and I was like, oh crap. So I had to backtrack a little bit. Probably, I mean, it was probably like 150, maybe 200 yards. It wasn't too bad. But now I'm like, crap, you know, and now it's really going to be hard. But I knew by studying the map that the last 2 miles was pretty much downhill. Let me tell you, dude, this, first of all, the race wasn't 15 miles. It was 15 and a half miles. So, and I know that's like, well, it was a half mile. That's just like saying a marathon's 26. Yeah. It's 26.2. There's like, what, 385 yards or whatever is the .2. It makes a difference because when you're looking at your watch and it says 14.95, you're like, oh, yep, still got, you know.
Yeah.
So, I was cooking down this hill. And then I started going down so fast that it was kind of not even controllable and I was a little nervous and couldn't see anything, and I just stepped on a rock or something, man, and rolled my foot. But it didn't hurt my foot at all, but I went down, and I went down hard. I'd have to say I caught at least a good 3 feet in the air on my side before I landed where you go the,
oh yeah,
you know, that the air knocks out of you. I landed on my side of my right arm, and at first I was afraid to move it because it hurt really bad. Oh, and man. I was like, oh, man, crap.
Rocks.
Yeah, exactly. Looked uphill, didn't see anybody, and
making sure no one saw the incident.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even care. I just was looking to see because I didn't want anybody tripping on me, because I was literally in the middle of the path. And I probably laid there for a good 25 seconds because I told my, yeah, you're not coming in under three. So let's just, but so I laid there for like 20 seconds. Then I got up, brushed off, and then tried to just kind of take the rest of the way in kind of at a easy pace to not get hurt. And I was just like, man, you know, it just figures. I mean, I was thankful that it didn't happen early in the race, because I would have been really paranoid. I'm
thankful that it wasn't any worse,
or that
you
wasn't
broke your arm,
right? That it wasn't worse. Usually when stuff happens, it's 3.51 is when I rolled my left ankle on the road on the pine cone. Whenever something happens, I always look. This was at 15.2, so I had nothing left for this race. Right. And I'm just like, it's like when they say accidents happen as close to home because you're more comfortable, you know. It just felt like that. So I ended up finishing, running in, and I have it written down. I think it was 301 something.
Oh, that's pretty good given all the circumstances, right?
Yeah.
Having to backtrack, having to kind of rest after an injury. Yeah, you know,
I mean, it was 301.15 is what they had me down for.
That's
so
nice.
No, I mean, I was happy. And like I said, I went into it for the experience. But when you start looking and doing like math, which is probably not something I should be doing when I'm running anyways, because your head's not all there. But I knew I was close. And if I wouldn't have made that wrong turn and I wouldn't have fell on my face, I would have did it. Is it a big deal? No. It was just kind of one of the personal things. I was like, oh, I'd like to come in under three. So I was very happy. Race is over. I'll put a picture in the show notes. The medal is really cool. I sent you a picture of the medal. Sweet. Yeah, it was just different. I mean, it's just a little like owl carved out of wood and with the name of the race and the year and everything. It was like a finisher medal. So that was definitely cool, something different. You go up into basically you go into a barn, or you went up and you got your T-shirt and everything, let them know you're finished up there. And then you went into this barn where they had all the drop bags. And basically they had stalls covered with tarps for the men and for the women to get changed. By that point, I was like, I don't even care. Like all I did was I got in one of the stalls like that were open, and I just was stretching like mad, because I was, once I stopped, I was like, ooh.
Oh yeah. Start to seize up a bit.
I was really sore. So, went to the after party tent. Excuse me. They had a great spread of food. I mean, they had salt potatoes, chili, I think minestrone soup, a ton of, like, I believe homemade cookies, coffee. It was just real. And it was this huge tent. They had live music. I think it was an older guy and his wife doing like cover tunes and stuff. You know, I think she was playing a violin. He had like a guitar or a banjo maybe or something. Oh, they were playing like Friend of the Devil when I left. So I was like, oh man. But you had to catch a bus from there back to the school.
Yeah.
And, I was like, you know what? I got a 2-hour drive. So I finished eating. I was shivering. I think, one, I was cold, but two, just after exerting that much, your body's just kind of, I remember that after the marathon, and it wasn't cold. Talked with some people that I had run with on the trails and kind of came across that guy. I never asked anybody's names or anything. I should have, been a little, but nobody really did. But
right.
The 6-year-old guy, I talked with him a little bit. This guy and his girlfriend, or maybe sister, I don't know, like they were there, and passed her a few times on the trail. You know, talked to them a little bit. And then I split. You know, I got the first bus and just came home and rested and ate like complete garbage on the way home. Yeah, yeah. I was so hungry.
You went to Burger King.
Went to Burger King, and then I got a pizza later, and that's not, that's not like me, but it was like, I just wanted just comfort, greasy, salty food and everything. And I paid for it the next day. But, I got to tell you, all in all, it was an amazing race, an amazing experience. I'm so glad I did it. Definitely going to do it next year. Hopefully you're at a point where you can do it, whether it's the six mile or 15.
Think so.
Yeah. So it's definitely an all day thing, but it was really, really fun and really glad. I got to be honest. I'd say it was up there with difficulty wise, even though the distance was shorter, my marathon, as far as fatigue and effort I had to put into it and mind games at certain points. I mean, dude, I crossed an aid station across the road at one point where I was like, I bet I could catch a ride and just not finish. Because my foot was, you know, I could tell it was aching and I was cold at that point because I had slowed down. I was starting to slow down a little bit. So now it was kind of getting like I was underdressed, you know, and that was another thing that made me want to move to get warm. I didn't want to dress again. I wanted to just warm up my core by moving. So, you know, I definitely put it right there. I don't want to say it was as rough as the marathon because I had some low points there, but it was definitely, it's definitely right there with it. Definitely right there with it. And like I said, it really taught me that I got some work to do if I want to really start getting into like trail running, especially with elevation gains. Definitely got some work to do. So
looks like we'll be hitting Allegheny some more then.
Hopefully, yeah.
Some elevation trains.
Yeah, hopefully. And this winter, you know, I'll just be, you know, I have the treadmill, so I'll be doing some, you know, you can adjust the elevation on that as well. It's not the same thing, but it's better than nothing. It's
better than flat, yeah.
Right. So that's the ridge walk and run recap. I know it's kind of long, but I mean, it was a long race, and there was I'm sure there was a lot more in there. Definitely a good experience. So, so now that it's, you know, close to the end of October, we're what, a week out from Halloween, I think, right? It's next week, next Saturday as we record. So what are you thinking of? Normally we would end the year off with the Lindsay's Legacy 5K run that we've done 3 years, is it now, or would this be our third? This would be our third, right?
This would be our third.
Yes. It would be, yeah. What are you thinking?
It's funny you say that. I think I got that email. I saw the email this morning, and I just read it in the subject line on my phone. It says, "Are you ready for Lindsay's Legacy?" And I thought in my head, no, I'm not. You know, and it sucks because I like to end the year with that race. It's a good course. It's a fast course. I've got my PR on that currently, and I kind of plan that race to try to break that PR, you know. And these last couple months off have kind of hoaxed my training for that, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's only, what, 3 weeks out now?
Yeah, about three weeks out,
I think. And I don't know. I'd like to do it, but I don't want to overcommit. Well, you know?
Let me ask you, is your hesitation because it is the race that you want to push yourself for and you don't feel like you could or should push yourself that way, so you don't even want to do it, or do you just think that you're not going to be able to run?
No, I probably could run it. I'm not. That's definite. I definitely could run it, but it's the race I like to push myself in,
right,
and
yeah.
I don't want it. I don't want to run it just to run it. You know what I mean? I want to run it to run it.
Right.
And I don't know that I'm going to be in that.
Okay.
Condition.
Let me ask you this then. Could you run it to just run it? And what I mean by that is if you said, okay, look, I've been injured and I'm just coming back. I know I shouldn't go all out. And you mentally tell yourself, like, I'm not gonna. Can you do that though? Could you line up, you think, and then I'm gonna stick to the game plan, or would you throw it to the wind?
I could probably say that, get myself there that day.
But you would throw caution to the wind.
Star would go off, I'd be right out with that crowd going too fast out of the gate like usual.
Yeah.
You know, and then regretting it midway through. But I don't know. I'm not going to totally nix it at this point.
Right.
You know, I'll consider it.
Right.
Because I mean, really, you can register the day of.
Yeah.
Right? That one doesn't sell out, does it?
No, I think people do register. I think it's like $5
more
or something.
So really, you got till the morning of. So, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to rule it out, but.
Right.
Right now, you know, I'm only like three runs. I think I did a run last week too. So I'm three runs into kind of recovering. So we'll see how next week is, day to day.
Yeah. You know, if I do it, it's going to be last minute.
Yeah.
For me, because unfortunately, not unfortunately, we had Steven on and we were talking because he was getting ready for his next marathon and then a 50K, but he has a marathon coming up next weekend. And I had said I was planning on marathoning in November and finishing off the year, but I didn't. Well, since that episode, I actually did register for it. Did pay for it. It was on sale, and I talked to my wife, and I just said, look, this is because I'm doing the Heroes Run Marathon, hopefully. I'm registered to do it. But it's on, I'd say, 80% of the course is where...
It's where we do our
long runs. And even more of it where I go to get my long runs, like Elk Creek Park and stuff. So it's a lot of it is what I run for my long runs. And I feel like... For myself personally, I have a mental edge more than I did in Buffalo because Buffalo, we're from here, but I don't know the course.
It was like a foreign race, yeah.
Yeah, but this, I know the course, you know what I mean? And I run it all the time. So I came home one day and I had been hemming and hawing about it. And this injury I'm having right now was the beginning of it. But I still signed up and my wife just said, look, just do it. And it was on sale. I don't know if I'm going to be able to run that. I don't know. So I'm actually going to physical therapy on Tuesday because I'm having this issue with my foot. And I believe, I'm not a doctor, but just from my symptoms and what I've researched, the posterior tibial tendonitis is what I'm thinking it is. Yeah. It sucks because it's like I wake up in the morning, kind of like how my wife is with plantar fasciitis. Like she gets up and it's just real painful until she moves around a little bit.
Yeah,
although hers keeps continually to be in pain because she has a heel spur now from the plantar fasciitis. But anyways, I don't know if I'm going to be able to run the race.
When is it?
It's November 7th. Because what happened was this all happened and I took 2 weeks off and I was feeling a lot better. And then I did the 14 mile race. I did a 15 mile hard trail race. Then I did a 2 mile recovery the next day. And then I did a 6 mile, I think, hard effort. You know, I think it was like a 7-something pace, 7:20 pace every mile. You know, so for me, that was pretty hard workout. And it was on a grass field, uneven. So since then, my foot's been
on fire.
At times it can be. So I'm going to go on Tuesday, talk to a physical therapist, see if that's what it is, get her assessment on it and just ask her, like, what do you think my chances are? I mean, let's put it this way. If she says, well, I'm not going to lie to you. If you run the marathon, you may be discomfort, but it's safe to do. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll deal with discomfort and pain as long as I know I'm not like going to damage something more. If she tells me, well, there's a chance you could make it worse and put yourself out longer, then unfortunately I'm going to have to bail out on the marathon, which sucks. But Buffalo Marathon in the spring, that is my A marathon. You know what I mean? Like, so even if I run this, I'm not running it for any personal records or anything. I'm doing it just because I want to run the marathon. You know what I mean? So as far as Lindsay's go, I got to take it one race at a time and really just see what the physical therapist recommends.
Right.
You know, I kind of want to.
So we might end this year differently, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know. So that's kind of where I'm at. So, I was just talking the other day with somebody and I was like, 2015 has been, for me personally, running wise, it's just been like, it's like looking at an elevation graph of just ups and downs and ups and downs where it's like, you know, I ran my first marathon, but then on the tail end of it, I came off, you know, slightly injured and then I got better from that. I think, including our half marathon, I got 4 PRs this year, three into 5Ks, each 5K. And then I think I shaved 15 minutes off my half time. So it's been really good as far as like personal accomplishments, but it's also been just like these stupid injuries that have been happening. And some were my own fault, you know, the marathon not doing core, mm-hmm. but when you roll your foot on something in the row that you don't see, it's really, or a dip in the grass. I mean, how do you plan for that?
No, you can't. I mean, can't. It's truly an accident, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, how we finish off. I'm hoping that next time we record is a post-marathon episode. That's what I'm hoping. But we'll see. You know, if I can run the marathon and come out of it, even though the 5K is only 6 days later, I'm definitely going to run it. But I'm going to say I'm going to run it to run it, because I know I run that one hard too. But I don't know if I can physically run as hard as I normally would after coming off a marathon. Right, yeah. So it's
5Ds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really just kind of taking it one day at a time and see what happens. So that's about it, man. You got anything else? Anything you wanted to bring up? No?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well,
I think we chatted everyone's ear off this time.
Yeah. Well, if you guys have anything you want to, you know, you want to have any comments for us or any questions, suggestions, anything like that, you can always you can call and leave a voice message at 716-246-4786. Or you can send us an email at theaverageRunnerPodcast@gmail.com. And those will both be in the show notes. And I'm going to put a picture of that medal in there because I think it was really cool. That'll probably be maybe the album art or something. But that's going to wrap up this episode. Guys, thanks again. If you're on iTunes and you like the podcast, please leave us a review. We really appreciate that. And hopefully until next race recap episode or not, either way, we'll record. And that's going to be it.
We'll tell you where we are at that point.
Yeah. And I do, you know, I have a couple other interviews I want to kind of do too, maybe. So I'll still have, even though our running's going to kind of slow down, especially for me, I'm having surgery. I forgot to add that in.
Yeah.
I'm having surgery on November 16th for umbilical hernia. So, it's just something that's got to get taken care of. So I'm going to be taking five, six weeks off. Whew. Mandatory from running. So I'm kind of hoping that I come back a little bit better after that, and then maybe right after the new year I can really start focusing on training for the marathon, and this foot will be better with some time off. So we'll be back either way, but I do plan on peppering in some other episodes and maybe having some people on. I want to get Steven on again. He's doing his first 50K in December.
Oh yeah, I definitely want to talk to him about that.
Yeah, so I want to talk to him and see how that goes, because that's definitely something I kind of want to get into the mix for next year, as well as to try and find a 50K, maybe Orcas Island week. No, I'm just kidding. if you guys are familiar with Ginger Runner, and I'll put it in the show notes, he does a lot of videos and stuff. They're awesome, and he's got one Orcas Island 50K. It is, I just watched it today before you came over. I absolutely, that is my dream race. You know, some people say Boston or whatever, but like, if I could pick any race to do right now, that would be it.
It's nice up there.
It's beautiful. Well, you got to watch the video.
We got to talk. We'll talk about that next time.
All right. So that'll be in the notes. That's going to wrap this up, guys. Thanks for putting up with us for almost an hour here. So until next time, thanks for listening. You seem like you want to get something out of your system. Go ahead. Do it.
No. No. And I'm Jason.